We go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp to our feet. Your love ought to shine bright in our lives. We cannot help but thank you for that love that came down to earth and dwelt among us and filled us with that love that ought to be a part of our church, our community, our world. We come to your word this day and we're reminded of that love, that faith, that hope that ought to be in each of our lives. Bless your word this day. Bless each of those who hear that word, that through that word we grow and we share that love with one another. In your name we pray. Amen. It's a familiar scene at weddings. Bride and groom standing there next to each other, maybe holding hands and looking into each other's eyes. Young. And have this eagerness for a future. And then because they had chosen or the pastor chose it, they hear these words. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's a familiar scene we've seen often, and maybe even you had that done at your wedding. But the truth is, we think of that as a verse for weddings when, in fact, it wasn't written for weddings. It was written in the midst of this section of Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. It's a part of the Lectio Continua that we are doing right now, working through the book of 1 Corinthians. It was written not for weddings, but it was written because Paul had just laid out a whole bunch of things, and then he says, let me show you a more excellent way. And we get this great love chapter, chapter 13. This was a congregation known throughout much of Christendom as being divisive. Lots of lawsuits, a lack of love towards one another. They couldn't even eat at the same table. And when it came to the Lord's Supper, they misused it. This was a congregation full of sexual immorality. They had forgotten what the love of Christ is all about. And to love one another as Christ has loved them. We have been looking at this church over the last couple of weeks, the church at Corinth. These are the lessons we have in this Epiphany season. And it's kind of nice because we get to look at some of this at a very important time. 2 weeks ago, Paul stressed those gifts, the spiritual things that we ought to be doing together. And then last week, he talked about being that one body, having the same spirit, the same baptism, and who we are together. And then he says, let me show you a more excellent way. We are the mystical body of Christ, the church. We are one in the same spirit. And so as we come now, let's think about that more excellent way. The motive that ought to control our lives. The ought to control our use of those spiritual gifts that God has granted us and the spiritual things. And as we look at this chapter, we see there faith, hope, and love. And Paul says the greatest of these is love. It is the glue that holds our lives together. Paul is setting a very high bar here. A bar that none of us can attain because of sin and its effect upon our lives. Think about what Paul is reminding us as you read through those words, and most of us can say a lot of 1 Corinthians 13. And as you look at the opening part of that, it says you could be all of these things, but if you do not have love, you are nothing. And then you have that section I read. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is all these things. This is what love ought to be. And then comes the ending of that section. That the greatest of these is love. Think about it. When I used to do premarital prep, one of the things I liked to do was to have couples look at this passage. And as they would look at this passage, I would encourage them to replace the word love with the word Christ. Christ is patient. Christ is kind. Christ does not envy or boast. He is not arrogant or rude. He does not insist on his own way. He is not irritable or resentful. He does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Christ bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You see, as members of one body, this ought to be the glue that holds us together. Christ put himself on that cross for each one of us. He came for men and their salvation. It is about love that you and I come together. It is that love that controls us as we worship, as we work, as we play, whatever we do as the body of Christ. It is to be done in love. The church at Corinth was a loveless church. What an accusation. I would hope it would never be said about this church. Paul was pretty tough on the Corinthians. And he says, let me show you a more excellent way. You see, what Paul saw was anything but love and action in this church. Imagine that. A church that proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet in that body you could see all these other things going on. I wonder what Paul would write if he wrote a letter to Trinity or to any other congregation at this time in our culture. Would it be different than the one he wrote to the Corinthians? Corinth and the church at Corinth was more about their outward appearance. When we look around in the world in which we live, it seems as though that's oftentimes the focus of many people. What do I look like? How do others see me? We argue a lot. We debate a lot in the world in which we live. We take up sides. And then we wonder why there's so much tension and chaos around us. Too often we are concerned of how we look rather than what we really do. as we went through this Bible study and looked at the six chief parts, we were challenged to look at the power of Christ's love at work in our lives, the power of the gospel, for Christ came into the world to suffer and die so that we may have life, that we may have that love because of his love first shared with us. We are to be a people of confession and forgiveness, a willingness to overlook our shortcomings and to lift up our strengths. How well do we do that? How well do we look for the strengths of Trinity? Or are we those who want to talk about what isn't right here? Because we all know there's plenty not right, because that's sin at work in the lives of people. But what about the wonderful things that God is doing in this place? First of all, to know that each of us, with all of our sin, come here every week because we need that forgiveness. We need to know that God loves us. And in that forgiveness, we need to love one another. Love is the glue for each one of our lives. It's the glue to our relationships. Without love, what are we? A clanging cymbal, a noisy gong? Without love, where is the patience, the kindness, the lack of irritability, the not looking at the wrongdoings of others? God, through Paul, challenged the church. And yet those words are so important today for us. Because first and foremost, we have a wonderful gift, that gift of Christ coming into our world, becoming one with us, taking our place, suffering, dying, and then to be raised again. We live in God's love. And we need to see that love as controlling our lives. I can't look into your hearts. Do you think about the benefits of others? Is it your goal to reach out to one another in love? Do you put that love first and foremost as you look at one another and deal with one another? Too often we get lost in all the pettiness of life. But we need to ask ourselves, what is it that controls us? What is the norm and the source of what we do together? Paul says there's a more excellent way. Love one another. Live in God's love. Yes, faith we ought to have. Our faith is because of what God has done for us. Our hope is to look forward to an eternal future because of what God has done in Christ. And then he says, but out of all of these, the greatest of these is love. Because first and foremost, you need to see God's love in your life. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more special than to know that you are loved by God. And then live that love. Share that love. Bear with one another through all the things that happens in life. Because you see, this is a more excellent way. Amen.